you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, I have one passage. My dilemma almost every week in sharing the word is that I have 3 to 4 different things that are burning in my heart. And I have to wade through those and discern and pray about what the Lord's, bringing and giving to us. And so that was not my problem this week. This week, it felt like just a kind of a quiet thing. And I only got one passage. And so I'm really just going to share this with you and hopefully lead us to a time of prayer together as we go forward. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, I want to read this to you first in the ESV, and then I'll read it in the Amplified. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being or inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I love this passage because this passage contains one of what we call the apostolic prayers, the prayers of Paul. And when we look at a prayer of Paul, I think it's an amazing thing that Paul tells us to pray. He tells us he's praying day and night, but that he wrote down some of his prayers is an amazing thing to me. Because what we get to do is we get to look inside the prayer meeting of apostles who wrote the Bible, of men who were really impacted by, obviously, the gospel and are living this. Paul's being beat for the sake of the gospel. He's given his whole life for this, and he writes down his prayer stuff for us. What a gift that is. I've rehearsed and said and done those prayers over and over and over. I would remind you of this, and we've taught it multiple times, but when you look at a prayer of the apostles, what you're looking at is something that's up for contention. Meaning, it's not a matter-of-fact thing that just is. Like, when Paul writes Ephesians 1:13, having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, Paul never, ever prays for believers to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't have to. It's not up for contention. If you've been born again, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. He never prays, Lord, would you seat the saints in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He doesn't have to pray that. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. He speaks of many glorious things that are already done, and Paul would never, ever pray for those things. But what he does pray for are things that are up for contention. They're battled for. They are things in believers' lives that are not matter of fact. This passage shows us that. We need to believe the truths that he wrote as facts and take them in our hearts by faith. But we also need to pray the things, I believe, that Paul prayed and to look into what he's saying. So, let me read this for you in the Amplified Version, which I love. In Ephesians chapter 3, it's kind of, it blows up the Greek, starting in verse 16. May he grant you, this is what Paul's praying, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in your inner man by the Holy Spirit, himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. So what we know from this is what Paul's simply praying for is power and strength to be imparted in the inner man of the believer. Now, he's not praying that the Spirit be put in the believer, but he's praying that the believer's inner man would be strengthened. Which means what, everyone? That our inner man can get weak. This is an epidemic across the body of Christ. Weakness in the inner man. A lack of power, a lack of energy is kind of that word there. A lack of motivation and strength that is able to do what verse 17 says. He's praying this so that Christ, through your faith, actually would dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. So what this means is, listen everyone, is that you can be a believer and not have Jesus dwelling in your heart. I believe that with all of my heart. My heart. I believe that you can be sealed with the Holy Spirit and you're born again, and like we say, I ask Jesus into my heart. But listen, it is possible for the spirit, for your inner man to get weak and not be experiencing the abiding life. Your soul is so distracted in so many things and weak and down. It feels powerless to even want to pursue God. Has anyone ever felt that before? You know what the deal is that we lose that power of the Spirit, that energy of God that causes us to be God seekers. You see, none of you would have sought God unless he, with prevenient grace, first grace, wouldn't have come and got you. He got us that were disinterested in Jesus to be interested in Jesus by a work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, an evangelist preached the gospel to me, but I don't give any glory to that guy. It was the Holy Spirit that hit me as a 10-year-old and just started pulling me. I'd been disinterested, and then power came and drew me to Jesus. It was a wonderful thing. But what's true and what's real is that even after I've been born again, I've gone through seasons where I get weak in my inner man, and I know you do too. We get weak, and we lose that abiding power that comes from abiding with Jesus, and we miss out on the fellowship that could be had. So Paul is laboring. Oh, believer, I know what you need most. You need the abiding of Jesus in your life. And I know this, the devil hates you and is working against that, and your own inner man is getting tired. So I'm going to pray for an infusion of energy and power in your inner man so that you would be motivated to seek God. Then he secondly continues his prayer and says, may you be rooted at the end of 17, deep in love, founded securely on love, that you may have power, all of us together, to be strong, to apprehend and grasp all the saints together, God's devoted people, that we may experience that love, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth in it. So his second prayer is what? Again, for power. Power for what? Power that you and I could have a living experience with the love of God. It is one thing to say, theologically, God loves me. God loves the body of Christ. God loves sinners. It's another thing to have an experience of that love in your inner man that messes you up for a lifetime. Were you really in living experience? No. And that's why the Amplified put it here, in experience of that love. He put it there because that word knowledge is not just a theological knowing. It's a living experience in my affections, in my emotions. So he's praying, Holy Spirit, give them power that they could experience the love of God, and they would be able to be motivated by that. D.L. Moody, I love this quote, but he said he was crying out for the Holy Spirit over and over and over, and in a hotel room in New York, he had such an experience of the love of God that he had to say, God, stay your hand lest I die. It was so overwhelming, the love of God, how much God loved him, that it pressed in on him, and he feared of his life. He said after that, he preached the exact same sermons, but multitudes, hundreds and thousands of people were converted because the anointing of the Holy Spirit was with him. I tell you, you don't want a Christian life without the Holy Spirit. There is no Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You got to go deep in him. You got to go long with him. You got to learn him and follow him. And that's what he's praying. I know you believers, you could get sealed. You could know your theology. You could be gloriously seated in the heavenly realms and live a life of malaise, of lukewarmness, of not being empowered by the Spirit of God inside you. And he says this in 19, that he prays about us knowing the love, that you may really come to know practically and through experience for yourselves the love of Christ. I want you to really be professors of a real living love that has stirred you in your inner man, which far surpasses your mere understanding or knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through your whole being unto the fullness of God and may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Everybody, since I get to stand in front of you and people that are going to watch this, you need to know that last half of that part, that's my vision for the body of Christ. That's it. My vision for the body of Christ is that this manifest experience would happen, that we would be unto all the fullness of God, that we may have together the measure of a rich measure of divine presence and become a body that is wholly flooded with God himself. Of all the things I desire for all of you and for me, it's that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's it. I can get distracted and go here and there. I want to make disciples of the nations. I really do. I want to bring glory to God through my life. I want to have a family that prospers and does blessing. But I'm telling you, all of those things happen when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus' great inheritance for us is the Holy Spirit. He purchased us with his blood and cleansed us so he could get us to a place where we would be filled. So, body of Christ, new life, in a season that we're in that is interesting right now, I hope you all got the text or the email where I warned you, I pleaded with you to pray about complacency, waves of complacency that are washing across the body of Christ and have even washed into our midst. I quoted a verse out of Proverbs 1. It's strong, but listen, you've got to hear it. It says the complacency of fools will destroy them. Complacency never leads to your abundant life. It leads to destruction. It talks about the waywardness of people, their hearts. That means backsliddenness. When I get complacent and dull, we've always said that. The emergency lights should be going off. Now listen, I'm not dogging you if you felt this. I'm talking to all of you knowing you have felt it. And I felt it this week. But something's stirring up in me that says, I don't want destruction. I don't want to turn around 3 months later, 2 years later, and I dwelt and, you know, languished in complacency, seeking money and fame and pleasure, and I missed out on the great things of God. It's going to take the Holy Spirit, though. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to get us free, to shake us loose from the stuff that's on us. So I'm calling you to two great things in this season, and I'm going to make a request of you. I'm calling you to prayer. Like, that's the 9,000th time I've called people to prayer in the last 20 years. But I'm calling you to prayer. I'm asking you to have the wisdom of God. We do not need more might. We do not need more power. We need more spirit. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And it is attained through one main thing, and that is a people humbling themselves and praying. Luke 11:13 promises you and me that if we ask our Father, who is better than us earthly fathers, he's better than us. We don't give, you know, a stone for the request of bread. We don't give a snake to our kid who asks for a fish. We give them the good stuff. And he says, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Listen, he wants to give us the Holy Spirit more than we want him. And he's waiting, but he requires that you and I ask. So I'm calling you for prayer. I'm calling you to wisdom prayer. I'm asking you to commit for a season with me to daily prayer, to number two, the great, great, great request, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with power in our inner man. Fill us with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Holy Spirit, awaken our weak little hearts with your power and with a touch of your grace. I stand before a group of disciples this morning, and I'm going to full out take advantage of it. Unashamed this morning, full out take advantage. I'm begging you, and I'm asking for a response from you. I'm telling you, I'm 47, and my tank of might has got very low. My tank of power is running really low, thank God. And I'm knowing more than ever, I need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So I'm asking you, my friends, beloved, I hope everybody's looking because I'm being serious. I'm asking you, I'm giving you a great prayer request for me. Would you pray on a regular basis that Sam McVay Jr. would be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm begging you to pray this because, listen, I don't need any more money. It's a delusion. I don't need any more money. I don't need any more fame. I don't need any more success. What I need is more of the Holy Spirit. I've been touched enough that it's ruined me. The greatest times on planet Earth for me have been when I was filled with the Spirit, where his joy and his peace and his energizing power came and caused me to go toward Jesus. So I'm asking, will you pray for me? This is not just a trick in a sermon. I'm so jealous for this. I'm so desperate for it. I'm asking, would you pray? Would you pray in the name of Jesus on a regular basis that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit if you would say amen? You can't believe my thankfulness to you if you will do this thing. I need it more, more. I can feel the enemy raging on me like never before. I can feel life draining out of me and dullness. I mean, I can just feel it knocking on my door. Complacency is inviting me all the time. But if you'll pray for me, I believe you have power for me to be revived. And here is my commitment to you. I'm going to pray one thing for all of you. And there's 1,000 needs in this room, but one thing will solve them all. I'm going to pray that you all be filled with the Holy Spirit. That you be filled and baptized afresh. That the Spirit of God would well up within you. Jesus promised in John 7, if we believe in Jesus according to the scriptures, what will happen? Streams of living water will flow up from within us. I've never done one work of transformation in my life. Anything good has been the work of the Spirit. And I know that's true about you. If you were saved, it was the Spirit that was coming after you. If you became holy, it was the Spirit coming after you. What do you need more of? You need more of the Holy Spirit. Amen, everyone? It is the great treasure on planet Earth to get the Holy Spirit and be filled. We go dead when we don't have life. And life is the Holy Spirit. I'm committed to it. I'm committed to it. May we be a body. I want to be known. I want us to have a reputation. I do. But I don't want it to be that we've got great music, we've got great preaching, we got whatever. Honestly, I want it to be known that we are a body where the presence of God dwells, where the Spirit of God moves among us and helps us love one another, go on mission, and bring glory to God. May the Lord help us to be a spiritual family that's full of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you now to practically have a prayer meeting with me, if you would, and forgive me if I make this awkward, but it's too important not to do it. Would you all please stand with me? If you can stand. And if you have grace to do this, would you grab a hand, a little hand next to you? Everybody listen to what I said again. The Father wants to give us the Holy Spirit more than we want him. Jesus wants to give us the Holy Spirit more than you want him. He came after you, and he's still coming after you. And if we ask for this thing, we're asking for something in the will of God. Join with me if you would. Father, in Jesus' name, as a spiritual family here this morning, we ask for the great gift of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you forgive me, forgive us corporately, forgive everyone in the room. As Nehemiah said, he confessed his sin and the sin of the community. We repent of complacency. We repent of lukewarmness. We repent of not having hearts that are hot in love with you. And we admit our hearts will stay the way they are without a touch of the Holy Spirit. So hear our cry, O God. Give us the Holy Spirit. Hear our cry, O God. Let the Holy Spirit flow from within us and flood our being. I pray that we be a community of faith filled with the Holy Spirit, his activity, his building, his everything that he does. We love it. So we repent as a family and we cry out and say, give us that treasure. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Awaken us again. Bring revival among us again. We have no hope without you, O God. So we turn our eyes to heaven. Now, if you could go ahead and stay in prayer, but drop the hand. I want you to individually. Father, I pray you hear the prayers of your people. Individually, I pray that you would all begin to pray, to cry out in your heart. Ask the Lord to fill you personally with the Holy Spirit. It is his will, not that we get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but to be filled, to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you to fullness in the way that you feel led in this moment of quietness. As you're doing that, I remind you that there is a real enemy that doesn't care if you're religious or you carry your Bible or you do any of that stuff, even go to church. He cares about you not being filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's resistance expected and pressed through. Father, in Jesus' name, hear the cries of your people. Fill us fresh with the Holy Spirit. Release a spirit of conviction upon us. Forgive us for treasuring other things. May we genuinely be able to say, there's none in heaven that compares with you. There's none on earth that we desire besides you. Come help us, Lord, and awaken us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Could you be seated for a moment? Hey, buddy, do you want to say something? Tell us your name and just make your proclamation.
Hey guys, my name is Jake Dirksen. I've known that Christ is King for a long time, but I've always fought him. And he's fought over me with Satan, and they've battled over me. And it's going through a phase here a while back, just here this last weekend. And God reminded me of his love for me and the judgment that I'll face one day if I don't repent and I don't change my life and let him come to me and change my life for me. And he reminded me that I need to do just bow down and return to him. And he told me that I should come here and I announce publicly, not just to myself and in my own house, but to everyone, that I love God, I love Jesus, he is my Savior, he is my Lord, and I know that. And I wanted somebody else to know that I knew that outside of God.
Who did that to him? Tell me, who? Holy Spirit. Right now, the Holy Spirit's resting on him, filling him. He's having trouble not crying right now.
He is.
Because the Spirit of God and his conviction, his presence are resting on him. Mm-hmm. Amen, family of God. Amen. We're going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, fill Jake. Fill him to fullness. Thank you for this declaration. He proclaims it before us, before you, before the kingdom of darkness, and he has made his stand. Now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, protect him from an enemy that would want to sway his heart. Thank you that you give us the ability to stand. It's by your grace and not Jake's strength. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. God bless you, brother. We love you. This morning in Wichita, John Smith, who's been discipled by Jonathan, I've talked about him in the amazing testimony, saved in his jail cell after murdering a guy, saw a TV crooked, saw a Bible under it, you remember. He gets saved instead of hanging himself and starts ministering to everything that moves in the prison. He led multiple people to Jesus. He's made multiple disciples. He told us a story this morning of before he left, I think Hutchison is where he was. He was ministering to an Hispanic young man named Manuel, who was smoking a synthetic kind of marijuana called something I don't remember. K2. Anybody heard of K2? I never heard it. He said this guy, it makes you a zombie. It doesn't just get you high, it makes you a zombie. This guy was addicted to it. Addicted. He looked like a zombie. John Smith, full of the Holy Spirit, in prison, started sharing the gospel. And John said that he went through some periods of time where he's a little discouraged because he was sharing the gospel to a lot of people and not many were responding. And he was like, Lord, show me a breakthrough. He kept ministering to this guy. John was released, went away, and didn't see him for a little bit. And he ended up, I think he's in a halfway house, John is, in Wichita. And he started seeing this Manuel walk by his house. And he looked by like a zombie again. Looked like a zombie. He just looked like, you could tell, he was high, he was doing this stuff again, he was out. He couldn't believe he wasn't being put back in prison. So John went to praying and not giving up hope, battling for this guy's soul. Within the last 3 weeks, this guy has turned around, he's found Jesus, he repented and he did what Jake did. This Manuel is now declaring to John that he trusts in Jesus. John gave him a verse before it happened. It was out of Romans 7, where it says, the very things I want to do, I can't do. Remember that? The very things I want to accomplish, I can't get done. The very things I don't want to do, I end up doing. But who will save this wretched man? But thanks be to God through Christ Jesus who can save me. You remember that whole passage? He gave it to him. He sowed that word into Manuel's heart. Manuel took it. The Spirit lit it up, touched his heart, and he made a declaration to follow Jesus, was born again, and has been drug-free for 3 weeks. It's not a long time. This guy, he said he doesn't look like a zombie. His face is glowing now. He's full of the Spirit. He's walking after Jesus. And he said to us, this guy's in a halfway house, and he preached to us over there and said, don't give up on those who are dead men walking. You're around them. They're around you. He said, there is no hopeless cause. Ugh. Coming from that guy, we were all filled with the Spirit. It was like, here's this guy in prison becoming an evangelist, and he's seen drug guys turn around by the power of the Spirit. And I want to give you this encouragement. There is no hopeless cause. There is no one's heart who is too hard that the Holy Spirit cannot break through. No one. No one that can overcome the power of a praying saint that's pressing the presence of God in on them. And it can happen, it will happen, and we're going to lay hold of that. We've got to do that. But listen, you're hopeless and just hoping if you're trying to do this by your power. I doubt if you're in your own power, if you even care. But there are dead people walking around you, and God can save them. Amen, everybody? And here's the cool thing to me. This is what the Spirit's been saying to me. I can not only give you power to get to those people, I can get you power to care. That's a miracle for me and for the body of Christ. I'm the one that can take your uncaring heart. I bet everybody in here would admit, I kind of care about the lost, but we need more. Thank God the Holy Spirit can cause us to care. Amen? So I want you to think right now. Think right now about some dead men walking around you. Dead women. Can you think of them? Think of their names. Think of their faces right now. Get them in your heart. Let's go get them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person that's been thought of right now. We pray you break through to the men and the women of all ages, neighbors, co-workers, co-students, people in town. Lord, you know who's been thought of here. You've put them on our heart. You put them in our path, so you must have a destiny for them. So in the name of Jesus, pierce through, break through. Give us trophies of grace. Thank you for Jake and his declaration. Thank you for Manuel and his freedom. 3 weeks free, I pray, turn into 3 years and 30 years. And Lord, I thank you that it's contagious in Manuel. And I pray you would make disciples through many of these people. Lord, set people free. Deal with us. Help us. We're sorry. We don't care. We don't care very often. We care sometimes. You're the one, though, that can make us care. So come and help us. Thank God. Thank you, God, that this is by grace. So by your grace, change our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Manuel is not only free for 3 weeks, he's found another disciple. He's beginning to minister to a guy who's addicted, and he's preaching the gospel to him. Isn't that great? John to Manuel to whatever. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit lights your heart up, okay, it's a fantastic thing. And I know that some of you may even be thinking, I just want to address this. Yeah, those guys are new. Yeah, they're desperate and trouble. Listen, it's only a delusion if you don't think you are too. Do you hear me? It's only a delusion if you don't think you're desperate and in desperate need of the Holy Spirit every day of your life. And so thank God for guys who get it and crash and burn with drugs and find Jesus and raise up. But God help me in suburbia, America, awaken from my addiction to safety and pleasure and food and money and the next thing. He can do it because he loves us. He loves you, everybody. I'm not trying to press you down, but I'm trying to press you on to go for the great things in life. Do not settle for the small things in life. It would be small if all you do with your life is survive and have a little fun along the way. The American dream is too low. We've got a higher dream, a kingdom dream, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be used for his glory. Amen, everybody? He can help your heart. I know you're being pulled by it. I am too. But the Holy Spirit can help us. Amen? It doesn't matter if you're charismatic, evangelical, or whatever. We need the Holy Spirit, and may He help us. Let's all stand and we'll close this morning. As we do this, because we're getting done earlier, just give me one moment. Please listen to the Holy Spirit, because He has deposits in you that are for other people. Listen, people have given me words in season that if they had not happened, I would not have gone on to deeper things in the Lord. Listen, you not being hot for the Lord puts me at risk. It puts the glory of God at risk, but you put me at risk. Judy Neff was talking about a lady who named Linda. I don't know if some of you guys know this. I don't know if it was through a glow or wherever, who had died and had some kind of heavenly visitations. You know who this is? She's full of the presence of God. Judy said she's around her. It's just like the presence of Jesus is coming off of her. She was dead. God saved her. She had a visitation from Jesus. And she called Judy and said, Judy, pray for me yesterday. I feel it subsiding. I feel His presence going. It's not like God's leaving her, but you know what I mean. You start to get cold and complacent. She was desperate about that thing. And she said, you know what's doing it? Drama around me. Petty people with petty stuff talking about petty things. And listen, they're just being puppets. She said, the drama is swaying my heart. Listen, everyone in the room, please don't let drama draw you away from the treasure. Drama will never go away. You're going to have trouble, but you got to decide, what's your heart going to go for? What's your heart going to go for? Because I tell you, there is no drama big enough to overwhelm Jesus' power in your life. Amen? Listen, I got something at stake about you being full of the Holy Spirit. I do. Because you may have a word for me, an encouragement for me. If you get all messed up and in the world, and I'm saying this also, we care for each other. That we'd speak the truth in love. And it wouldn't be okay with me that Dennis is lukewarm. You're not. I'm not saying you are. Or that Bert is lukewarm. Lukewarm people don't hear the fresh stuff of the Holy Spirit. And I want Bert there, so just in case, he might have something for me that would stir my heart up. Amen? Many are being ransacked by drama, and they're lost in it. So, Father, I pray at the end of this service, in Jesus' name, that You would awaken us to a desire for the greatest treasure on the planet to be filled with the Holy Spirit. May we not be distracted by drama in our own self or in people around us. May we be locked in and unstoppable in our desire and our cry to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, You would help us as a community of faith to care about each other. I pray, as people have said they would pray for me, I pray for them. I pray we all pray for each other. That we be filled with the Spirit in the midst of a messy marriage, in the midst of messy finances, in the midst of messy life. May we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to care about one another and to not fall for the seduction of the enemy that causes us to care about other things. We love You. We praise You. And it's all by Your grace, and it's all for Your glory. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go pray every day. I'm holding you to it. You said you'd pray for me. Pray for one another. If you need prayer this morning, it is clear in the Bible that some people laid hands on one another and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. He can do it any way He wants, but we'd love to pray for you to be filled with the Spirit this morning if you like it. Otherwise, have a great week and go seek the greatest treasure in Jesus' name. Bless you.